your liberty.
Let's church, amen?
Amen.
You may be seated at this time. We are grateful for this wonderful opportunity and privilege that the Lord has blessed us with. What we need is more of this and less of me. Praise the Lord. We have to practice a little fellowship here if we expect to be able to enjoy each other for eternity after this. If we cannot enjoy each other for the little small time, the short time that we are here, how are we going to be able to live together in an infinite kind of figure where there is no number that can calculate? It's unfathomable by us to understand what eternity is like. We live within a frame, within a window of time, and that is incomprehensible to us at times. But we thank God for the privilege. For the Bible says if we walk together, if we live together, if we pray together, that we be able to enjoy His fellowship. Because, you see, time is not a fact with God.
That's right.
For He said one day is as 1,000 years. That's incomprehensible
in my mind.
But again, God has given us an opportunity to really understand how we can live with each other and live for one another. Because we have played a role too long that we are an island. Instead of being able to solidify our hearts and mind and stop our bickering, we have allowed the satanic powers to come and tell us it doesn't matter. You serve God, I serve God, or everybody is serving God in their own little world, but we just can't get along. Now Jesus says, how is it possible through the epistle of John that you can say you love God whom you have not seen, but you just can't stand each other who you see every day? God can't understand it, and He's perfect, and I shouldn't even try. Praise the Lord. But it's been a wonderful, wonderful afternoon, and we enjoy your pastor here, and you all that are working with your pastor. It is a blessing and a privilege and an honor for the people of God to come together as often as they can. Praise the Lord. Now, outside of the church world, you'll find people who are trying to find greater, bigger things to do so they can get together. It's these church folks that you can't get them to stay with each other. That saying they love, but really don't understand what love is all about. You see, we are blessed tonight, and I was trying to condense this so I wouldn't take you too long and keep you all night and have some of you fall out the loft like in Paul's day and break your neck. Now, if you fall out the chair, you're going to be disappointed, because you're not going to break your neck. And somebody can wait till you get back up, which will keep us here a little longer. So we don't want you to fall asleep. We don't want you to try to imitate what Paul did, because Paul didn't stop preaching because the man fell off the loft. He just prayed and put his neck back together, and they still had all-night service. That's in the book of Acts. Praise the Lord. But we enjoyed everything that we've seen, all that our hearts have felt. I'm expecting God to do greater and better things for us. But let us practice living together a little bit. You know, let us try very hard to prove to the devil that he have done a job on us for too long. And we're going to let him know that for God I live, for God I'll die. You see, God does not look upon ethnicity. And God does not look upon races, because out of one blood, He made all people. And that's kind of unfathomable as well. We got all these different types of blood. But the Bible says, out of one blood, He made all of us. It takes God to do something like that. So if you think you're something better that you're not, then from that same one blood God made you, you, me, praise the Lord, from the same blood. The Bible says, have we not one God, have not one God do what? Created us. And God created us for His own image and for His own purpose. Now, we have to let the devil know that we're going to take ourselves out of his hand, because now God owns us and we belong to him. And it's such a great atmosphere tonight just to be able to come together. When I think about that, when I see the solidification and I see the unity and I see how sweet it is, and we may be concerned about a little time that we spend here, but we're going to spend eternity, and we're going to spend some other time before eternity comes somewhere else if we die. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you might as well stay awake, stay alive.
Yes, sir.
You know, tonight.
Yes.
So we can enjoy each other. What a privilege. What an honor it is to look at you all who represents the body of Christ.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
I was going to do something a little different. I am going to do something a little different than maybe you've grown accustomed to seeing us do. We're going to talk about the man's disease and the God's cure.
All right.
You see? And I'm not going to address this from a homiletic perspective. I'm going to deal with it on a level that we all can understand. You see, we all understand one thing that we all have together, and that is sin. Now, I know there's some of us hypocrites that feel that we had an immaculate, we were born by a virgin, and we have never sinned. I can't talk about those hypocrites because I have not been born of a virgin.
Right, right.
And I come from immaculate conception. See? So I know what sin is. Like, you know what sin is, if you want to. Okay? So we're not going to pigeonhole ourselves into little sin, big sins, and I'm not going to go and try to make my sin bigger than your sin. I can't do that because Paul already chosen that he was the chiefest of sinners.
Right.
I want to be one chief.
What?
Okay? And that's Paul.
Yeah, that's
the rest of us are Indians.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. But we're trying to be the chief.
Yeah.
Okay? So we're going to try to understand this thing that we have all been a partaker of, very much familiar with, and refuse to accept who we are.
Right.
So that God can get down in us and make us what he wants us to be. This stuff started way back when there was only two people in the world.
Yeah.
And the two people was a man and a woman. Okay? God put them together. We were not there. Thank you, Jesus. Because if we were there, they would never got married.
Right.
We had all our expertise and all our opinions
why
they shouldn't get married.
Oh, yeah.
Just like we do today. We got all kind of ideas why that one shouldn't be with the other one. Okay? We pick apart, we set apart, and we have some great advice. But nobody wants our opinions. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And we are very opinionated when nobody asks for our advice. So consequently, when God in his own infinite plan deemed it necessary when there was no one to talk to but himself, praise the Lord, he decided that I would put the man to sleep so he wouldn't have too much to say about the operation.
Right.
Okay? Because if he was under anesthesia, he would be talking. And he would tell the Lord, I don't want you to do it that way. I have a better idea. And obviously, he had to put him to sleep so he wouldn't talk. Because after he got her out, she was going to do the talking. Don't get angry with me. Praise the Lord. Having said that, in the book of Genesis, the Bible informed us as to what this plan of God was for man. And he had set him, called him aside, gave him some instructions, what he was expecting of him. And it was quite clear. I know most of us can explain God's word better than God can. But it was quite clear, and the Bible illustrated and indicated that it was quite clear in the third chapter of the book of Genesis. He suggested, or I should tell you, commanded them in the third chapter, maybe to in the essence of time, starting around verse number 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Adam, whereabouts? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. It's amazing how when we become so knowledgeable of sin, that there is a false concept of pride that seems to well up within us so that we can determine which sin is the worst sin. The Bible says all unrighteousness is sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what God says. But the more pride we get into us, the more we become so sophisticated until we adjust and schedule and determine how much sin is greater sin. And the more we become successful in our sins, the more we are able to rephrase. So we have the sin, and we call it now, from a professional concept, disease.
Yes.
See, the worse your sin is, the more it's not a sin anymore. It's a disease. Okay. Once upon a time, sin was just plain old no good sin. But now it's a sophisticated sin. It's a special sin, and it's a disease. See, the longer we can try to dress up sin, the less we will be able to repent from sin. Less we'll be able to see what sin is and that it's not working in our best interests. We will rationalize and justify that it's okay as long as it's my sin, but I can't stand your sin because it's disease. Okay. So the Lord said unto him, who told you you were naked? His wife didn't. And he said, oh, who told you that you were naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded you that you should not eat? The fact of the matter, all you have to say is yes. But the man said, it's that woman's fault. Yeah, if you hadn't given her to me, I wouldn't have said it. It's that woman's fault. Yep, that's her fault. The question was, have you eaten of the tree that I told you not to eat? The answer was, yes.
Yes.
That's right. That's right.
I said, it's your fault for giving her to me, and her fault for giving it to me. She made me eat it. Yes, she did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She made me eat it. I wouldn't have eaten it if she hadn't given it to me. Mm-hmm. Yes. Thou gavest me, and she gave me of the tree, and then I ate. And the Lord said unto the woman, what is it that thou hast done? The woman said, the serpent. You know? He wasn't supposed to be in this garden talking. I wouldn't have eaten it. Now, I don't know what language Eve spoke in. Maybe she spoke in all of them. Gardenese. Okay. But whatever language that devil talked in, she understand every word.
Right.
She just can understand God's word.
That's right.
That was confusing. Praise the Lord. All right. And the serpent beguiled me. That's why I ate. The Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, you will be cursed above all the cattle and above all the beasts of the field. And upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. Now, who is the devil going to blame? Who is the snake going to blame? You see? He was left without anyone. But in verse 16, it said unto the woman, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conceptions. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and they thy desire shall be unto thy husband. I think I should stop. And he shall rule over thee. There was God's problem. That's God's problem. Because he cursed her. And he told her that your husband is going to rule over you. See, my glasses are getting dirty already. Of all the commandments that the Lord had given, all, and this is a curse. He didn't say you're going to do this until you don't like it anymore. Don't look at me funny. I'm just trying to say what the scripture says. If you burn this Bible, you read it on yours. If you don't understand it, and if you understand it that well, don't look at me funny. I didn't give elaborating on it. The Bible says this is going to be your curse. Now, the best way, if you want my advice, that you don't have to get one of them. You understand? You don't have to get one of them. Then you won't have to listen to them. If you ain't got none. Right?
Right.
Now, who wants to understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
Huh? Don't want to get no man to rule over you? And you know, some of these sisters, you tell me, ain't no man, no man is going to hinder me. No man going to tell me, look, it's not the man's commandment, it's God. You see, you can't take this Bible literally anymore. I heard you talking. I heard you thinking. I got the vibes. And I know that you're trying to tell me that I got the wrong interpretation, and it's that you are not supposed to take it like that. Well, let's see. Praise the Lord. Now, the snake is crawling on the belt. Literally, fictitiously, he don't have no more legs, so he must have had some legs before. But his curse was he's going to crawl on his belly, and he's going to eat dust. The man's curse was that because he hearkened unto the voice of his wife and have eaten of the tree, of which I command you that you shouldn't do, thou shalt not eat them. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Now, is the ground still cursed?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Isn't that still working?
Yes, they're working.
Still
yes.
Working. Yeah. And we're going back to it every day, aren't we?
Yes.
In the shower?
Amen.
If we stay for an hour, we're going back, right down the sewer. It's washing us away. Okay? So apparently God was right when he told us that. Ground's going to be cursed forever. But God was wrong when he says, you're going to be for the rest of your life. Nah. Don't get me if I'm offended. That wasn't where it stopped. We're just trying to tell you this disease of sin. See, when we begin to reject God in one phase of it, then the power of God will manifest itself in the other aspect of it. Now, the Bible continues to tell us that because we were overwhelmed by sin, and the sixth chapter tells us our sin had become so gross until it repented God that he even made us. The Bible said so. Okay. Then he told Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, that when he looked upon the whole world and saw the situation of mankind, praise the Lord, he says man had gotten himself into such a predicament until he began to address his issue in the first chapter of the book of Isaiah. Verse 4, he said, "All right, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupt. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger. They are all gone away backward. Why should you be stricken anymore? Are you revolt more and more?" He said, this is what God said. The whole head is sick. Now, I mean, you got a bad head. You think things that it's not going to be in accord with the word. The best thing for us doing is look for a cure. You know? But there's a difference from the sin of the disease that we were all born in. And there was a penalty, according to the sixth chapter of the book of Romans, verse 23. God says, the wages of sin is death. And death reigned from Adam to Moses and from Moses to Christ. So, I don't care what you read in scripture that twists and twists around, that you're not going to die. You better watch yourself, because one day you're not going to see yourself walk around anymore. You know why? Because you're going to die. And when you're dead, you don't see yourself walking around anymore. When you see the other people that are being carried away from here, they are dead as well. I watch the, I try to read the obituary column every day. I told my wife and I told some of the other brothers, I had a dream this past week that I never had before. I dreamt that I killed somebody. And I was miserable. I was real miserable. The next day, of course, I got this information that the rest of you are on scapegoat. And I got this other thing. But I never felt like that, how it feels to kill somebody, until I had a dream. I dreamt that I was dead. You okay? But I was so happy when I woke up. That was a dream. Okay? But if you've never dreamt that you have killed somebody, you don't know what I'm talking about. But whether you think you're going to live forever or not, I'm here to tell you it was once appointed on the man to die. The Bible says then after death, the judgment. We can make some adjustments between the time that we inherit this disease of sin and the decision before he comes back to take our bodies so that we can find a cure for the disease. Since you have to die, whether you want to or not. See, the undertaker, he's going to die too.
Yeah.
He may come one of these days. He's going to be riding his own hearse. Yes. He's going to die. Okay. Now, the point of the matter is we needed a remedy.
Yes, it is.
And God in his infinite plan, because he loved us and cared for us, irrespective to what we think about ourselves, whether we deserve it or not, and whether our sin is less than somebody else's sin, which is the thought of a hypocrite, praise the Lord, because, you see, you have to realize that you need help for your own sickness.
Right.
And then nothing worse than having to be sick upstairs, because you think you're well. Don't know how sick you are. You don't even go on and run into death or seek death when you're sick upstairs, because you think that's the end of your problem. I'm here to try to appeal to your better judgment that God has a remedy for your inevitable condition, because God loves you. God doesn't want you to die without the remedy.
Amen.
Huh? And you've got to realize that I'm going to die. And since I'm going to die, I might as well die right. Best way to die right is to get right. And the best way to get right is to find the balm in Gilead who is able to make you right. Praise the Lord. Just don't go along on the life journey and say, I ain't got that to do with that. And I know you are going to have to pay and be held accountable for the breath that God gave you in your body while you live.
Yes, amen.
Just like you would hold somebody accountable if you loan them some money.
Hallelujah.
Why did you think that you were so wise? And you were going to loan somebody some money, and they say, well, I don't owe you anything. You know, you're my brother, and just think that I'm heavy, and you ain't going to, you're not going to accept that. But then why is it that God's going to be so dumb and said he just gives you breath, and that's all you keeps you moving around with, and God is the remedy for your situation, and we are terminally ill and on our way to a Christless grave, and God wants to snatch us out of the jaws of death and put his power into our soul so he can change the dynamics. See, it's not so bad when God gets into your life, because when you get God in your life, this is what happens. You begin to help kill yourself, and not suicidal, die daily.
Amen.
You begin to understand what Romans says, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, so sin will be so tempting.
Yes.
See? The more you minimize sin, the more sin becomes aggressive in your life.
Yes.
Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you're dead already. Okay? If you don't know what I'm talking about, you can't understand the lingo. Praise the Lord, you're dead already.
Yes.
See? But the point of the matter, since God in the divine plan have made it possible for us to be ransomed and for us to have life in these bodies, then we should run to the city of refuge, run to the Lord and ask Him, I need you to write me a prescription and I need a quick. And you can be able to say almost, I feel like I'm dead already, because sin will kill you.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So God in His infinite plan began to tell us through Isaiah, and Isaiah began to show us how that God so loved us that He wanted to make us aware of the plan that He had for us. He says, now these are some things that you can do in the 16th verse. Wash you. See, you can't keep putting your dirty clothes in the dryer and taking them out or in the dry cleaners and pressing them.
Yeah.
You gotta wash it. Yes. You gotta stop hanging them in the closet.
Right. That what?
And you put it into the wash. But you see, Lord, I don't like to be washed.
Come on.
I don't like washing the clothes. They don't look dirty. But they smell dirty. Putting them in the closet so you can't see them don't mean that they don't smell. Hiding them so you don't see them don't mean that they're not dirty. Buying more and no washing the one you had before doesn't mean that it got clean. And our souls need a little wash. Huh? Need a little washing because the way I think and the way I feel, I need to be washed on the inside. You see, I not only is my head sick, but my heart is.
Come on.
I'm sick also. Desperately wicked. Jeremiah 17 and 9. And no matter how you think you know yourself, the Bible says, who can know it? Nothing worse. You know? Somebody may give you a bypass, but that doesn't change your nasty, dirty heart. You may think you are something that you're not, but your heart is the same. We understand that if God had placed it here, and He says, who wash you? Make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. He says, come now. I'm God.
Come on.
Huh? I'm God.
Right.
Praise God. Not as I was, but not forever. And not over and over again. Praise the Lord. I'm giving an opportunity. I'm going to give you a cure for your situation.
Sure.
Praise the Lord. So you can't come up before me in judgment day and say, Lord, you have never been dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he knows.
Tempted at all points just like us.
Oh,
yes. Even through death.
Through death.
But in order to get to that place where he can die, he had to tell us in the 6th chapter of the said book, I'm going to give you an understanding. I'm going to show you how it's going to be done. I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who shall I go for me? In the 6th chapter. And he said, go and tell the people, hear ye indeed, but ye understand not, see that ye understand indeed, but you perceive not. In the 7th chapter, verse 14 of the said book, he wanted us to get a clear understanding of what it was all about. And he said, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He says, and the sign that he shall give us, behold, a virgin shall conceive.
That's it.
And the virgin shall bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel.
Yes.
You see, God began to give us some clear, distinct understanding where the cure is going to come from.
Sure. Amen.
Because we were coming from the blood of Adam, yes. Tainted blood.
Yes, right.
And it could not eradicate the sin that man had gotten himself in, because from whence thou art, that's who you're going to be. I don't say anything that your parents were bad people. I'm just saying we are a victim because of the plan that God used after our foreparents failed. Okay? And now we are looking for a cure for my terminal condition. I need some help before I die.
Yes.
Graveyard die. Dead. Praise the Lord. And God in his infinite plan began to show us how this is going to do. He says now for 9th chapter, verse 6. For unto us a child is born.
Uh-huh.
First he told you to be called Emmanuel. Now he says unto us
unto
a child is born.
Unto us.
A son is given. Right. Not going to be half and half. His son. It wasn't Mary. She's a woman.
Yes.
It wasn't a virgin that's going to die.
No.
It's a son.
That's right. Amen.
He says, and the government shall be upon his shoulder.
Yes.
His name shall be called Wonderful.
Wonderful.
See, you ain't saved and you're still deaf and still riding like a monkey unless you got Christ on your side.
Oh, we need it. Yes.
Hallelujah. As long as you think you're something that you're not, you don't feel that you're all that bad, and you ought to be good and good because you're going to be saved because of the way you look in the mirror, God wants you to understand that I am looking deeper. I'm giving you an opportunity to do something for yourself.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And this is what you're going to recognize. He says that when this son is born, the government shall be upon his shoulder. Okay? That's what the Bible says. Not me. Okay? And he says, his name shall be called Wonderful. He is a Counselor. He is the Mighty God.
The Mighty God.
Now, listen. If he is the Mighty God,
right.
Why do we need the other two?
Right.
That's right.
Look at me funny. If one got all the power, what the other two are doing?
Right.
Using on the job.
Tell it, preacher. Amen. That's it. Yes.
The Bible says he is the everlasting. There is no end. Alpha and Omega from one extreme to the other. Everlasting Father.
Yabba.
No Yabba. No, yeah. The Bible says the same son will be the everlasting Father.
That's the word.
Amen.
Now, if you got another Bible and got something different, and you got more knowledge than God, then you have a problem. But God has a remedy, and God wants to help you because God loves you. God loved me. I didn't always understand this either. Praise the Lord. But I thank God tonight that I do. You see, he is the Prince of Peace.
Yes, he is.
God wants to help us.
Yes.
I would have to move, but the 63rd chapter of the book of Isaiah says, now who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments of Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save.
Right.
You got to be saved from death.
Yes.
In order to get life. Lord. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel?
That's it.
and thy garment like him that treadeth the wine fat. I have trodden the winepress alone, and the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garment, and I will stain all of my garment. And can we see Jesus dying on Calvary's cross? Due to the essence of time, I wish you can understand that God wants to do something special and spectacular for us tonight. God wants you to recognize that if you don't change and don't let God in, don't accept him and his plan, you're going to miss an opportunity. You're going to die without all hope. You're going to miss the purpose of his Calvary experience. And he's made it so simple till a fool can't err. Praise the Lord. And I don't know about you, he says God so loved the world until he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. God don't want you to perish tonight. God wants you to be saved. He said, my arms are short that I cannot save. In my belly that I can't hear. But you're saved. God wants you to be saved. He was tempted in all points like us, but he didn't know sin, so it wasn't his disease. It was ours. And when there was no cure, he became our cure. Lord, have mercy. Huh? When we couldn't help ourselves, when we were being ripped and raped by the powers of sin, God came in due time. Next us. I don't care what you have been through in the past. Judgment begins at the house of God. Now I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you really want to be saved, take knowledge. Come boldly to the throne of grace, and you can find help in the time of trouble. I want you to be saved. God said, I love you. While you were an enemy of in due time. Hallelujah. In the nick of time. While you were fighting against them, God said, I came to give you some life. To give you some hope.
Right.
And save you from yourself. Save you from your mind. Save you from your emotion. Save you from your issues.
Right. That's right.
Oh, when I think about the goodness of Jesus, when I think about what he did, when I see his blood being shed on Calvary, there was something about that name. Something about that love. Something about
Jesus. Come on, that's right.
Hallelujah. Yes. The name Emmanuel being interpreted that God is with us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Who wouldn't serve a God like this?
Come on.
Who wouldn't love a God back that loved him to that extent?
My Lord.
Praise the Lord. We, in our human concepts, even understand that somebody loved me, you ought to love him back. Right? And God already expressed his love to us.
Right.
And now God wants to save us. And God suffered and bled for us. And he said, no man take my life, but I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it back.
That's right.
So death was not a terror to Jesus. Hallelujah.
Right.
But it was a terror to us. So he wanted to help us. Can you feel God working and God moving and God trying to move in your life and God trying to talk to you? Do you feel the presence of God tingling, pulling on your mind, on your heart?
Hallelujah.
And you feel to the point that you want to raise your hand and say, Lord, I'm sorry.
Hooray!
I want to be saved. I want to be delivered. I want to be helped. Can you feel God talking? He's the cure. He is the answer. He will afford you in his bosom. Because one day he's coming back.
Yes.
And somebody testified about that earlier. He's coming back. He's coming back for somebody who had an ear that was one time deaf and couldn't hear.
Right.
Eyes just as eyes that couldn't see. Because the power of God has now opened your ear and opened your eyes
right.
to an understanding that God loved me. Hallelujah. God loves you more than your wife,
Yes.
Love you more than your children.
Yes.
Come on. God's love is stronger than death.
Yes.
Because we're doomed. But it almost as though he put his hand in the grave. Hallelujah. He got us up with our grave clothes on. Hallelujah. Washed us in his blood. Thank you. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, Sister Lula, but I feel so good. There is something when I think about what God's doing for me, what he has done for me. Well, yeah, it's been half a century so far when God did that for me, but I feel pretty good. It's like it happened yesterday. Because I know this word says, I have a cure. I'm not somebody in the lab looking for a cure. I had a terminally ill. It was predicted that I was going to die. But God says, but not forever.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Right.
You don't have to stay dead forever. I'm going to give you something for your terminally ill situation. I'm going to give you some CCs of Jesus. I'm going to give you his anointing. I'm going to give you his power. I'm going to give you some victory. I'm going to give you some joy. I'm going to give you some peace. I'm going to give you some strength. I'm going to call you and you're going to hear me. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I feel his love. I can recognize and recognize how much he's done for me and what he's continuing to do for me. Somebody say, ain't no one, nobody can do me like you. Huh? Your darkest hour in despair is just a golden opportunity to God to rescue you. Because sometimes that's the only time we're going to call him on him from the depth of our heart. And don't care what your trial and what your trouble may be, but when you're really down, down deep in your stuff, and you feel that you've tried a lot of things in life and using your own inability, praise the Lord, and there is no hope, then here come you, here come me. We come to Jesus like an empty pitcher waiting to be filled. You say, Lord, fill me. Fill me, fill me, fill me, fill me. God, how is it that you love me? Come down and rescue you, save you, help you. Who was that about it? If you know what I'm talking about, you ought to really shout hallelujah. If you know that God snatched you from death, Lord, you ought to say, Lord, I'm so mad! So mad, so mad, so mad, so mad! I feel like running, I feel like leaping, I feel like raising my hand, I want to touch you, I want to thank you! Because you've been so good to me! Praise the Lord! Oh! And not only that, he gave us some promise. In the third chapter of book and first epistle, he said, beloved, now are we the sons of God. He said, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but since we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Come on, church, we're going to be like Jesus. Yes, God will have no dominion. We're going to be like Jesus. So we can go where we want to go. We won't have to get on a train, a plane, or we have to get a I'm like a glorified body. If I were you, I would come to Jesus tonight. If I were you, I would speak about it in his town. If I were you, I would call on about his name. If I were you, I'd say, Lord, speak me. If I were you, I would say, Lord, watch me. If I were you, I'd say, Lord,